Good morning, everyone. Good morning. As Andy said, my name is Hannah, and I work with the first through sixth grade as their Sunday school teacher. I'm also one of the youth leaders here. That does not mean we're going to play tag or anything this morning. I actually got to kind of like wear a dress and not have to be on the floor today, so I appreciate that. I'm really excited. We're starting a new series this month, and it's a series on family. Specifically, this week, I'm going to be talking about parenting. And that's a little bit ironic, because if you know who I am, I'm not a parent. I'm not a mom yet. And I have told a couple people this, and they're like, does your pastor know you're not a mom? He is aware that I'm not a mom, but he knows that I have a passion for teaching, a passion for children. I have a love of the family unit and that working the way God wants it to work. So before you're elbowing your spouse next to you, like, she doesn't know what she's talking about, she's not a mom, I'm not going to be giving you any parenting tips. I'm just going to be talking about what the Bible says about the family and about parenting. So hopefully you can all be on the same page in here. Now you might be in here saying, I don't have kids, or my kids are all grown and out of the house. This has nothing to do with me. Well, hopefully we all want to know what the Bible says, right? And my guess is you probably have a kid in your life. Maybe a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, a neighbor kid. If you don't have a kid in your life and you want a kid in your life, come volunteer with us in Blue Ash Kids. I had to do a shameless plug. I finally had a mic, and I'm like, I have to do a plug. Anyways, so if you've ever asked me to do anything for you before, there's a good chance my response is, let me pray about it first. The first few times people hear this, they're like, she just wants to say no, and she doesn't know how to say no. But that's not it. I truly believe that everything should start and end with prayer. So it should be no surprise that I think parenting should start with prayer. Prayer needs to be the foundation for our families. You need to pray for your kids. You need to pray with your kids. You need to pray for yourself. Has anyone ever had one of those days like, heaven, help me, I need help today? Pray for yourself. Pray for your spouse. School is starting up. Pray for your kids' teachers. Pray for the friends they're going to make. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them on, open them up. We're going to be looking at 1 John 5, 14 through 15, and also Luke 18, 1. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. What a wonderful promise that is. Hopefully, when we're praying for our children, we want our children to grow up in God's will, right? We want them to become the children and the adults that God wants them to be. And when we're praying for ourselves, we probably want to be the parents that God wants us to be, right? And that's a promise that God's going to honor that. And I just think that's so amazing. In Luke 18:1, now Luke is one of the Gospels, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Okay, and we're going to look at the latter part of the verse. Luke 18:1, it says, they should always pray and not give up. But we can look at that as we should always pray and not give up. We need to be persistent in praying for our children. I know it's nice. You want to, when you pray, like, God answers it like that, right? That's not really what happens, though. We need to be persistently praying for our kids, praying for ourselves. So I'm going to open this morning in prayer for all of us. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everyone who's in this room. God, thank you for all the parents in this room, all the caregivers in this room, Lord. What a wonderful responsibility you've given us. God, open our hearts and minds today. Show us how we can be better people, better Christ followers, and better parents to our children. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about parenting in the Bible, there's a really famous verse in Proverbs that everyone kind of thinks of. Proverbs is the book in the middle of your Bible. It's the book of wisdom. How cool is that? We have a book in the Bible that's just dedicated to really good advice. And that is Proverbs 22:6. And the most famous parenting verse is, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, when I say the word train and I think of the word training, I think of like training for like a sports thing. Does anyone think of that? Like an athlete training for some goal. Is anyone a runner in here? Anyone ran a marathon, 5K, anything? Okay, we got a couple of you. Good for you. Everyone else is like me. I'm not a runner, but we're going to pretend today that we're all runners and we're training for a marathon, okay? Everyone already feeling stronger right now? Okay, I am. So we're going to train for a marathon. So we have our end goal, and that's to run a marathon, flying pig, whatever you want, okay? And to train for it, we have to make some sacrifices. When you're training for a marathon, you have to sacrifice time, because it takes a long time to run each day or every other day, however you do it. You have to sacrifice energy. It takes a lot of energy to run. Probably sleep. I heard that you have to get up early, you know, so the sun's not too hot. Sacrifice money, because you need, you know, cool clothes and nice running shoes, right? Sacrifice food, because running with chocolate cake in your belly is probably not the best thing for running, which is probably why I'm not a runner, because I don't want to give all that up. But the idea is if you give all these things up, right? You give these things up, you're constant with your training, then you'll be able to complete your goal of running a marathon, okay? So when we're training our children, we need to have a goal that we're training them for. Now, if I was to ask each and every one of you in here, what is your goal for your kid? I would probably get a lot of different answers. If you have a little kid, your goal right now is that they sleep through the night. If you have a toddler, maybe your goal is that they get potty trained. Maybe for kids in primary school, your goal is that they pass the third grade. Maybe your goal, if you have a teenager who's driving, is please, Lord, don't let them get in an accident. Maybe your goal is that your kid gets into an Ivy League college. Maybe your goal is that you just have a happy and healthy kid. Maybe, and I hear this one so many times, is that your kid has a better childhood and future than what you had. I hear that one a lot. These are great goals. So pat yourself on the back. Good job, parents, for having these goals. They're very good. But we actually should have one consistent overarching goal, and it's we all have the same one for our kids, okay? And that's to raise a godly adult. To raise a godly adult. Can you say that with me? To raise a godly adult. Okay. So that goal goes up here, and all your other goals, they're more short-term goals, they go below that, okay? Now, as parents, I'm not a parent, but I know quite a few parents here. When you become a parent, you have to make sacrifices, right? Parenting is all about sacrifices. And I like when people talk back at me, so feel free. So yell out, parents, or not parents, something you had to sacrifice when you had a kid. Sleep. Immediately. Sleep. You lose a lot of sleep in the beginning when they're little, and then it kind of evens out, and then they're in teenagers and driving, and then you lose a lot of sleep again. That's good. What else? Your body. Yes. Money. Kids are so expensive. Oh my goodness. It starts so early, one with hospital bills. Then there's diapers. And then there's schooling and clothes and toys and cars and college. They're very expensive little creatures. What else? Freedom. Who's that? Yes. Yes. Parenting is a 24/7 job. You kind of give up a lot of stuff to be a parent. Anything else? What? Sanity. Yikes. That's probably true. Everyone had one of those frazzled days. Oh, my goodness. I always love when I see new moms and their, like, shirts are inside out, and they're just like, I'm just so tired. This is crazy. So, yes. So kids take a lot of sacrifice. I would say one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sacrifice is time. Would you agree with that? Parenting is 24/7. You don't get to take a vacation from it. Even when your kids are at school, you're still a parent. You get a call from that school, you still got to go and take care of your kid, right? Parenting is a 24/7 job. We're going to look up Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And it says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. The words that they're talking about are the word of the Lord. So that's the Bible, okay? So these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. We need to be teaching our kids all the time. Why do you think that is? Why do you think it says so very clearly in the Bible, when you're eating, when you're sleeping, when you're walking, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at the park, you need to be teaching your kids. Why do you think that is? Because they're always learning. Kids are like sponges. They are just soaking up knowledge. I would put any third grader memorizing a Bible verse against anyone in this room, honestly, because they are able to just soak that all up. This was made so clear to me a few years ago, and I have to put a little disclaimer on this story. Since Pastor Andy is not here today, this story is not about him, okay? When I say it, you're going to understand why I'm saying that. So it's not about him. So it happened a few years ago. I had just finished teaching in Sunday school, and I was leaving. I was getting a cup of coffee on my way out, And it was the beginning of football season. Anyone like football in here? Really? I would think you guys like it a little more than that from what I've heard. But anyways, if you live in Cincinnati, you know Cincinnati. We like football. Why? I'm not sure, but okay, we like football. So it was the beginning of football season, and two men started bantering back and forth with one another. And we've all heard conversations like this. One was a Bengals fan, and one was, I think, a Steelers fan. Boo hiss, I know all of you. Okay, oh, you're just feeding into this story right here. So they're talking back and forth. They start bantering. Oh, the Bengals are such losers. Oh, only idiots like the Steelers. Oh, we're not going to be friends for the next few months. Ha, ha, ha. And they're going back and forth doing this. I pay no attention because who's heard of a conversation like this? Raise your hand. We've all heard very similar conversations like this. I think nothing of it. On to home I go. It's a week later. I'm about to start teaching. And I might not be a mom, but I do have like the eyes in the back of my head and I can like hear multiple conversations. And I hear these two first graders talking to one another. And they are repeating word for word the same conversation I heard a week before. Let me tell you how ugly it was coming out of their mouths. You're stupid for liking them. My dad said you were a loser. We're not going to be friends anymore. And I'm horrified by hearing this. And of course, you know, no, we don't say that. We don't use that. And I went home, and Craig remembers this. Our kids are never watching sports. We'll never watch sports in our house. And it had nothing to do with sports. And the thing is we've all had conversations like that. It's not to embarrass you if you've had a conversation like this. It's just this, like, smack-in-the-face reminder, wow, kids are always learning and listening. Those kids were not in that conversation. I couldn't even have told you that there were children around at that time. They were just walking around. It was just like when you're hanging out after church. But they were soaking in that knowledge. They were learning. So I say this to be that reminder that your kids are always learning, and that's why it's biblical that we always need to be training and teaching our kids the way we're supposed to, okay? So what's our goal again? To raise godly adults. Okay, good job. We're learning. Okay, to raise godly adults. So I'm going to sidestep for 1 second and explain why I put the word adult in there. Why didn't I say godly people, godly children? I specifically said adult. That's because I feel like there's a whole generation, and it's my generation, that doesn't feel prepared to be in the adult world, okay? That they were not prepared when they were on their own to handle things on their own. There are hashtag adulting, right? And we need to be looking, a lot of the goals that I mentioned earlier are more short-term goals, right? We need to be thinking more long-term for our children. A lot of parents don't like to think of this. One is because their kid is so little, it's just so far away until they're out of your house. Or maybe it's a little too close than you want, and you don't want to think of your baby leaving home. But we need to be thinking of that. We need to be thinking of raising our children to become adults. And remember, we're teaching our kids all the time, right? We're supposed to be. So we need to be aware, are we helping or hurting our children in the long run? My mom was so good at this. She was so good at preparing me to be out on my own. When I was 11 years old, my mom started making me make all my own phone calls. Now, I'm not saying you should do this, but I'm just giving this as an example. That I needed to make all my own phone calls. And she said, you need to know how to make, you need to know to talk on the phone. That's an important life skill, Hannah. Whew. Okay, so when I was 11 years old, she'd practice with me when I was sick. She said, you say your first name. You're going to say your date of birth. You need to make a same-day sick appointment. And I did. Now, that wasn't easier for my mom. It would have been easier for my mom to, just call and make the appointment. But she knew that that was important. So you need, even though it's not the easier choice, you need to kind of make that harder choice, right, for your kids and raise them to be adults. So going back to godly adults, if you could turn your Bibles on, we're going to be looking at Proverbs 29:17. And it says, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. We must be consistent with our training. Kids can tell if you're not consistent. Discipline. Who likes the word discipline? Nobody. Okay. Nobody likes it. It's kind of like this yucky word that we don't like. The dictionary says, discipline, the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. Ugh. No one even likes the definition, punishment, disobedience. No one likes that, right? But it's biblical that we need to do that. Discipline can be a good thing. What's a good thing? Think in your mind something good that you have to discipline yourself for. I guarantee we all did one this morning. Who woke up with an alarm clock? Who had to hit snooze 20 times? Okay. We still had to discipline ourselves to wake up with an alarm clock. Am I right? Because what's the punishment if we don't wake up with an alarm clock every day? If we don't go to work, then our punishment is you lose your job, right? We need to be consistent with disciplining our children. I'm not going to tell you how to discipline your kids. Personally, I believe every kid is very different. My brother and me are a great example of this. A couple years apart, same parents, they would say, Hannah, the stove is hot. Do not touch it. And I would say, stove is hot. I shouldn't touch it. And they would tell my brother, Tyrone, the stove is hot. Do not touch it. And my brother would go, the stove is hot. Ow! I shouldn't have touched it. Two different kids, different methods of discipline needed to be used. This is where you go back to praying, right? Because we need to be persistent in praying for our kids. You need to pray with your spouse. Be consistent with whatever discipline you decide to do, okay? It's so many times in the Bible. I could go list verse after verse of what it talks about in the Bible of discipline. It is so important. Why? Because it is far easier to shape a child than to repair an adult. I'm going to say that again. It is far easier to shape a child than to repair an adult. Maybe you know an adult who needs to be repaired. Maybe you are an adult who needed to be repaired. That is why it is so important that we're consistent with our children. if you'll look up with me, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Now, in the Bible, we could go on. Obviously, every Sunday when we're here, we talk about, you know, how to live godly lives, which would then in turn how to teach our children to live godly lives, right? Specifically, though, I love this verse in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who does not want a kid who is loving, who has joy, who's peaceful with their siblings, who's patient with you when you're taking forever getting their lunch ready? Who does not want a good child, a child who has faith, who's gentle with others, and who has self-control? Heck, who doesn't want that for themselves? This is for us too, my friends. We need to be teaching these attributes to our children. How do we do that, though? Well, maybe next time your kid comes home from school and they're upset, right? Some kid was being a jerk to them, and then they come home crying. That breaks your heart, doesn't it? It breaks your heart when your kid's heart is broken. So instead of reacting, that stupid little Johnny, punch him in the face. And I know sometimes you just want to react like that for your kid. When you take a step back, pray about it, right? Because we're being persistent in prayer. Pray about it. And how can we teach our children to respond with love and kindness to this little punk named Johnny? It's not the natural thing we want to do. But that's what God calls us to do, is to respond with love. How could we teach our kids patience? Maybe next time you're at the doctor's office or waiting in a grocery line, maybe don't pull out the iPad. And parents, don't pull out your cell phones for yourself. Practice discipline on yourself and practice patience. I actually do this personally. Every time I'm at my primary doctor, I refuse to let myself play a game on my phone. It's just to practice patience for myself. It's a plan of discipline for me. So it's important. How can we practice self-control? Maybe when we're driving and someone cuts you off in traffic and you yell a few choice words and want to make some fun hand emotions outside your window. Maybe don't in practice self-control, because who's ever heard do as I say and not as I do? You ever heard that? Does that work with kids? No, it does not. If you don't know that, it does not work with children. They do as you do. So if they see you get frustrated that fast and see you not practice self-control, they're going to learn to do the same thing. Now, I have to say, this is, why is it so important with the fruits of the Spirit? Why is it so important to teach this to our kids all the time? Because the world is not teaching this to our children. The world is not teaching our kids to be loving and kind and joyful and patient. The world is teaching our children a lot of ugly things. The world is teaching our daughters that they are not good enough unless they look a certain way, like on a magazine. They are teaching our sons that they are not real men unless they trample those below them. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV, watch a movie, listen to the music that they're listening to. It's very ugly. It's very ugly. It's heartbreaking what the world's teaching our kids. We must be resistant to what the world is teaching our children. This is not always easy. Most certainly not easy, because who's ever been their kid, Mom, Dad, I really want to see this movie. Everyone in my class is seeing it, but you know there's some stuff in that movie that's not really good, but everyone's seeing it, Mom. Everyone's seeing it, Dad, please. We must be resistant to what the world is offering our kids. And again, I'll go back to, you know, when my mom was teaching me adult things. That's not always the easiest choice. Right? It's normally to raise a godly adult. It's not the easier path. If you're standing in a grocery store and you want to teach your kid about money and how to pay for things, who wants to take those extra 30 seconds, extra 60 seconds to have your kid help you count out coins or push the buttons on the credit card pad? Right? That just takes so much time. It's not easier. It would be just easier to do it yourself. But it's important that we take the harder road, we take the extra steps for our children. For our children, because you love your kids, right? I know you do. Parents, I see it. You guys are amazing parents in this room. Right now, you might not be feeling like you're the best parent. Maybe you're feeling really discouraged. I want you to know God loves you, and God wants to help you through this journey of parenthood. He really, really does. But we have to ask him. That's why we have to pray. We have to ask God for his help. Now you might be thinking, okay, this is all well and good, right? Raising adults, they have good morals, okay. What's so special about this? What makes everything different for us is Jesus. That's what changes it for us. The most important thing you can do for your kid is to have a relationship with God yourself. Remember, the do as I say, not as I do doesn't work. If your kid sees that you have a relationship with God, that it's important for you to read the Bible and to pray, they're going to know that that's important for them. Now remember, when we pray, we want it to happen like this, right? Does it happen like this? No, it doesn't. But remember, we have that promise from God that he's going to honor that. And I will tell you that some kids take harder roads than others. There were four kids in my family, and we all took very different roads, okay? And I'm glad to say, now that we're all in our, adult years, I'm the youngest, is that we all found our way back to God. Some of us stayed on the path, and others did not. A couple of them took a few detours along the way, and that's okay. Do you know why I think they ended up back in the arms of God? Because my mom and dad persistently prayed for all of us. They prayed for us. They were consistent with us when we were children in raising us. And so that's why I want to encourage everyone in this room today. If you're at a spot, and maybe you feel great, maybe your kid's just little and you're just stuck on the, I just need them to sleep through the night phase, or maybe your kid's a teenager and you're really struggling right now. Know that God loves you. Know that God loves your child, okay? And know that you're not alone. Look around this room right now. Most people in this room are parents. You're not alone in this journey, okay? And God wants to be on this journey with you. Show your children the love of God. It is so important that they know it's important to you. And then in turn, it will be important to them. You have to tell your kids, you have to show your kids that a relationship with God is more than 1 hour on Sundays. Because if you're entrusting your kids' full spirituality for their 1 hour that they're with me in class, you're doing your kids a disservice. I'm good, but I'm not that good, okay? You have to daily be with your children, daily pray with your kids, daily read the Bible with your children. That is the best thing you can do for them, is to cultivate a relationship with their Heavenly Father. Oh, that is so important. So what's our goal again? To raise godly adults. Okay, we're getting it. So remember, we're going to be persistent in our prayers for our kids. All right? Pray for your kids. Pray with your kids. It might be awkward. If you don't like to pray, it's weird to sit there and, like, pray with your kids. But here's some ideas. When you're walking to the bus stop or driving to school, pray for your kid's day. That's a good one. Maybe when an ambulance passes by or a fire truck, take 2 seconds and just pray for whoever they're going to go see. Then you're going to be teaching your kid to kind of start that in their daily life, okay? Be consistent with your training with your kids. Be consistent with your discipline. Moms and dads that aren't on the same page on this will struggle the most. Who's ever seen, I've seen so many kids, the kids are so smart, remember, because they're sponges. They learn to bait mom and dad against each other. They know dad's a pushover on this or mom's a sucker on this. And kids learn that, and you're really doing your kids a disservice. Now, I'm not going to say you're just magically going to agree on anything, because that never happens. But that's where you go back, you pray with your spouse, seek wisdom, read the Bible on how you should handle different things, and go at it unified together. Discipline. If you're going to do timeouts, be unified in that. Be consistent with that. Consistently show, can you pull up the fruits of the Spirit again? Consistently try to teach your children love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And again, this is not natural for us. We need to be learning this too. And this is a journey for ourselves. But it is one we need to be taking our children on with us. Am I right? You need to bring your kids along with you. You need to learn to do these together. And God's going to honor that. God's so going to honor that. Now, if you guys had your Connect cards, pull those out again. Does everyone have these? Yes? You're supposed to be filling them out? Okay, good. We have a couple next steps. And these next steps, Andy kind of touched on them. These next steps are something you can do today, something you can do tomorrow and this week. So I'm going to challenge you for 7 days. This is my challenge for you, okay? Well, first step is to accept Christ. If you don't know who Jesus is and you have questions, maybe you're agreeing with everything I'm saying, but you don't quite understand it. Understand Heavenly Father, who loves us so much that he gave his son, Jesus, as a sacrifice for us so we could have an eternal relationship with God. We would love to speak with you about that. We're going to have prayer teams up here. I'm going to be up here. Or fill it out on your Connect card. We'll send you an email, call you, however you want it, okay? But here's my challenge to you for the next week is the second thing is pray for your kids. I'm going to challenge you for every day for a week, pray for your children and pray with your kids. Just do it for a week and see what happens in your lives. Pray with your spouse. Pray for your spouse. And don't have your prayers like this. I'll take Craig since he's my husband. Oh, dear God, let Craig realize that he's being stupid in this and let him change his mind and agree with me. I'm not talking about prayers like that, okay, my friends? I'm talking about prayers that you are together doing what God wants you to do, okay? Thirdly, be consistent with your training. And only you are going to know exactly what that looks like. Maybe that means you need to change how you're disciplining your kids. Maybe that means you need to change how you're acting, okay? Maybe you're not showing the fruits of the Spirit very well in your life, and you need to change yourself. Be consistent with training for your children. And lastly, resist what the world's offering your kids. I think this one might honestly be the hardest one. The world is all around us, and there's so much ugliness that the world is offering our children. Resist that. Resist what the world is offering. So what you're going to do is you're going to fill those out. There's going to be offering buckets that come around. You'll put those in there. We're also going to be offering communion. Craig's going to be leading us in worship, so feel free to take communion. I'll be up here to pray. We have a prayer team up here. We would love to pray over you. We would love to pray for you by yourself or you and your spouse that you guys get on the same page for your children. We would love to pray over your kids. Working back in the kids, I know there's a lot going on with your children right now. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of bad and there's a lot of uneasiness with school starting. We would love to pray a blessing over your family. If everyone could stand, I'm going to close this in prayer. Dear God, thank you for everyone in this room. Oh, Lord, thank you for all the parents and all their hard work. God, thank you for our children that you've entrusted to us, whether ours or other children, God. Thank you for them. God, protect our kids. Keep them in your arms, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come now. We want to be the people you want us to be. We want to be the parents you want us to be, dear God. God, come to this place. In Jesus' name.